He drove Steve to the shield base next morning, and then had to suffer a good 5 minutes of lectures on personal safety, interspersed with sad puppy eyes whenever he started to tap his foot irritably. God, Steve could look adorable when he was trying. It almost made overprotectiveness cute. Almost. It was just as well he had a prior booking, or he would have likely hung around the tower glaring suspiciously at all arrivals. Which would have been quite inconvenient in a number of ways. Tony watched him pass through the security checkpoint and drummed his fingers on the wheel, thinking about the upcoming day. Jan was clearly the chatty type. He'd have to field a lot of questions, maybe even girl talk questions, which he felt totally unequipped to deal with. Except the inherent flaws of bras and high heels. He could talk for hours about that. He didn't want to start another friendship under false pretenses. It was bad enough what he was doing with Steve. To hell with it. Tony canceled things all the time. There was no reason Morgan shouldn't. He drove back to the tower and took the elevator to his workshop to put on the armor. He hadn't had to assert his right to make his own decisions in years. Well, except to Pepper. Being treated like some kind of delicate female flower was very odd indeed. Steve would not lift Iron Man into his lap to comfort him. And that was... Tony stared at the blank gold faceplate in the mirror over the sink. "I am not a woman," he told his reflection, and then touched the arc reactor that shone through the armor. The other Stark, the woman, had all his scars, not just the engineering ones, the little self-inflicted wounds built up over the years, but the fine pale starburst around the arc reactor. She had the same damaged heart he did. She'd built the arc reactor under Ames' nose and burned her way out. Would she have let Cap pull her into his lap? Maybe. She probably wouldn't have let him tell her what to do, though. Not if she was... Iron Man? Iron Woman? If she was CEO, she had to be tough. Did she dress like Pepper? Heels and skirts? Did she have a Pepper? Was she dating Cap? If Tony had been in position to grab Steve straight out of the ice? The other Stark couldn't be so different, really. Probably didn't look that different from him, all armored up, a woman of steel. Tony was going to be very glad to get his own body back. He resolved to call Reed as soon as he had a moment. He touched down on the doorstep, and Jarvis opened the door, frowning.
"Hey, Jarvis."
Jarvis did not look pleased to see him. "I was expecting Miss Stark," he said, and Tony shrugged.
"She couldn't make it."
Jarvis sighed, and Tony pushed away the pang of guilt and turned to look down the gravel driveway.
"Is this Jan?"
There was a neat little sports car pulling in. It was indeed Jan, wearing jeans and a pink sweater and a huge smile.
"Hi there," she said.
Oh, it's Jarvis, isn't it?"
"That's right, Miss Van Dyne," said Jarvis approvingly, descending the white stone steps. "Let me take those for you." There was a brief polite fight over the bags before Tony gathered them up and carried them inside and up the main staircase, Jan and Jarvis trailing him. He paused at the top of the stairs, and Jarvis took over, leading them to a large, light room overlooking the garden.
"I hope this will be suitable? If not," Jarvis began, and Jan beamed at him.
"This is great," she said. "Of course, I live with my dad mostly, but it'll be nice to have a place with the team, right?"
She turned her smile on Tony.
"Cap already lives here, and I have a room."
He never used it, of course, but it was there. He had a room for Tony, too, but he hadn't used it since moving Steve in. Not for a long time before that, really. Jarvis was right. It would be nice to have the place busy again.
"And Morgan?" "No, she..." She's staying at Stark Tower.
Perhaps she should have her own room. Then he'd have three. Jarvis gave him a nasty look and departed on silent feet. He was clearly still annoyed about the whole pretending to be his own cousin thing.
Oh.
Jan gave him a thoughtful look.
Well, tell her hi for me.
Will do.
There was a pause, and Tony tried to think of something to interest her. Was it too early to ask to look at her tech? She pushed the window open and smiled down at something.
Is that Tony's dog? Or does it...
Dog?
Tony crowded up behind her. There was a big brown dog frolicking about in the garden, and there shouldn't be.
I have no idea.
It must be lost. We should go catch it.
She bounded towards the door.
Or we could call animal control,
Tony said to the empty room. He glanced out the window again. The dog was digging in a flower bed, which would definitely annoy Jarvis. Oh well, it wasn't like a dog could bite through his armor. Tony hadn't spent more than a minute or two in the garden in the last 5 years. He'd had a vague plan of putting in a swimming pool, but then he hadn't bothered, because it was just one more thing for Jarvis to keep up. Maybe he'd put one in now. Maybe Steve would let Tony pick out his swimsuit. He followed Jan down the garden path, trying to picture Steve with a tan.
It's exactly like I remember it.
Jan wandered about the path, trying to look in all directions at once. Only the trees are taller. Doesn't Tony change anything? I can't resist redoing our garden every few years.
Well, I guess he likes it the way it is.
Tony looked around, trying to find something intelligent to say about the garden. There were trees, there was grass, and flowers. What more could you want from a garden? A pool, obviously. Maybe he should just let Jan redesign the whole thing.
Come here, boy!
Jan clapped her hands, and the dog peered around a tree at them. Careful, said Tony. It might be rabid. It doesn't look rabid at all. Jan crouched down and held out her hand, and the dog trotted towards her, tail up and wagging.
It's got a collar. Look!
The dog stopped about 10 feet away and stared at Jan. It was big, looking something like a heavier Labrador.
Who's a good boy, then? Come here, come on.
The dog swished its tail and then barked and jumped away, running a few yards before turning back towards Jan, tail wagging.
Oh, he wants to play.
Try and get a look at his collar.
Tony wasn't going to try grabbing it. Animals didn't tend to like the armor much, and he didn't want his paintwork scratched. He followed Jan, who followed the dog as it frisked away, occasionally stopping to bark. The far end of the garden was laid out like a tiny, tasteful wilderness, with rhododendrons and twining paths. The dog, predictably, made straight for the bushes and began to bark. It had probably found a squirrel. Can you hear a humming noise? Jan cocked her head.
Probably traffic, Tony said absently, trying to assess the garden.
If they took out all those pink flowers, they could fit a pool down the side there, with a deck for the sun. No, not traffic. A generator or something. Do you have a generator?
They're in the basement. Backup power and so on.
Jan trotted off down the path, and Tony trailed after her. Now he was paying attention, he could hear a low hum that wasn't the traffic. He started to run a sensor sweep, but was distracted by a small impact against his chest plate. He looked down and saw a metal dart, flat head stuck to his breastplate.
What?
A crackle of blue electricity flowed outwards, and the suit hissed and overloaded and crashed, the familiar clicking and lights of rebooting. He tumbled over, and after a moment, Jan fell to her knees beside him. Iron Man, are you all right? Her hands hovered over him, unable to touch him with the power sparking off the metal.
Go,
he started, then pitched his voice lower, because with the power off, his voice distortion was off.
Go, get away.
Jan bit her lip, and then looked around her. Tony tried another track.
Do you have your costume?
Oh, she said, eyes lighting up, and bolted towards the house. Tony struggled with the armor, snapping commands, trying to get it online before anything terrible could happen. He could hear footsteps thudding on the grass. This had to be another kidnap attempt. Jan screamed loudly, and Tony cursed and tried to force the armor into motion. It was too heavy, though, and he didn't dare try to take it off with electricity still sparking around him. There was a deeper masculine yell, and then swearing. Get her arms! Get her! She bit me!
Help! Help! Fire! Police! Murder!
Ow! Get the... There was more scuffling sounds, and then they died away, and Tony shut his eyes and muttered to the armor, trying to coax it into cooperation. But whatever was on his armor kept disrupting the connections, and it would reboot all over again. She's still breathing? Fine, come on, before... Look out! There was a wet, nasty sound, and then a dull thud, and then more yelling. And then there was a vast roar, and a sheet of blue-white flame filled Tony's vision. When he blinked the glare from his eyes, the armor rebooted smoothly, and Tony scrambled to his feet and stared. There was a ring of charred lumps of metal, and in the center, a burned carcass. A burning carcass that was twitching horribly. He'll be fine, came a voice from above, and Tony looked up to see Storm floating down, light as a leaf in the wind, battered canvas backpack dangling incongruously from her hand.
What?
He looked back at what he saw was now Logan, new pink flesh already showing, crouched over Jan's curled up form. How did he... Logan has an adamantium-plated skeleton, Storm explained, and Tony pursed his lips in a soundless whistle as she settled soundlessly to the earth beside him. Adamantium plating? That was barely believable.
He earthed himself. Clever.
Combined with my control over the lightning, we could be sure the girl would not be harmed.
How did you know they weren't human?
Could smell him a mile away, said Logan in a thick, wet voice. Life model decoys. They gave the girl some kind of drug. We weren't close enough. He pushed himself up, staggering. I need a beer. Storm tossed him the backpack, and he rummaged through it.
Inhaled or injected?
Tony crouched over her and rested his metal fingertips on her throat. Her pulse was slow, but strong. She was breathing normally, and she looked pale, but not waxen. He gently eased her eyelid up, and her pupils shrank in the light. Inhaled, said Storm. Logan was fully focused on his beer.
She'll probably be okay. Let's call an ambulance.
Tony gathered her up with care. If this was another doom attempt, it was unlikely to be anything very dangerous. But you couldn't be too careful.
And get you some clothes, Logan.
That would be best, said Storm.
Hey!
Tony turned back towards the tree.
Can you hear anything?
Lots of things, Logan grunted. Narrow it down for me.
A sort of hum, like machinery?
Logan shut his eyes for a second, then shrugged. Nothing.
There was something earlier.
Tony glanced towards the back of the garden, and then down at Jan. I'll check it out, said Logan, and loped away, filthy and naked, into the bushes. Tony shook his head and turned back towards the house. Jan came around within 20 minutes, threw up in a bucket Jarvis had thoughtfully provided, and proclaimed her total health to the paramedics. They took blood pressure and temperature and made a short attempt to persuade her to come to the ER, which failed. Logan repaired to the front steps for a cigar, and Tony went with him. "There were signs of some kind of vehicle parked among the trees back there," said Logan, and Tony nodded. "That made sense. You'll be wanting to rebuild part of your back wall. So who was trying to kidnap her?" Tony shrugged. He was pretty convinced that Jan hadn't been the intended target. Probably the LMDs had been confused by the presence of both Iron Man and a young woman with dark hair. But you never knew. Perhaps Doom was starting a collection. Perhaps it was an entirely separate group of kidnappers. Jan's father was very rich, after all. "Hey, there's Cap," he said instead, pointing at the taxi drawing up. Steve, as promised, had Banner with him. He took the man's suitcase and took two steps before an expression of alarm crossed his face and he broke into a run. "It's all right," Tony held up his hands. "Everything's fine." "I can smell burnt flesh." Steve looked around, a line of worry between his brows.
"Just me," Logan growled around his cigar, and the tension ran straight out of Steve.
That was pretty funny, as if Logan's smelling of crematoriums was par for the course.
"Nice outfit," Steve said, and Logan just chewed on his cigar and glared.
His broad, squat body was entirely unlike Tony's or Steve's, so Logan was wearing a battered pair of Steve's sweatpants rolled up at the ankles and a pink t-shirt that Steve had bought before he'd been informed that it was really more of a girl color these days. Not that it stopped him wearing it. With any luck, Logan would destroy it somehow.
"Some kind of robot tried to kidnap your girl," said Logan, in what probably couldn't have been a deliberately misleading statement, given he didn't know about Morgan.
"Morgan?" Steve looked around as if she might be hiding. "Where?"
"Not her," said Tony. "Jan. She's fine. She went up to change."
"Oh, where is?"
"Couldn't come. Sent me instead."
Steve pouted, like someone had told him his wings looked stupid, which was sweet. Tony really wanted to kiss him. Stupid secret identity. Not that he really wanted to make out with Logan and Banner watching.
"What robots?" Banner asked.
"Just some robots, kidnapping, like they do."
Steve gave him a suspicious look. He shrugged.
"What? I'm not a robot expert. I'll take one home and Miss Stark can check it out."
The less time spent discussing the kidnappings, the better, really. "Hi, Bruce. Cap." Jan came bounding through the door with Storm at her heels. She was wearing her costume, the mask tucked into her belt, and looked entirely recovered from her near abduction. "How are things? I was almost kidnapped, but Storm and Wolverine saved me."
"Not that we're not delighted to see you, Storm, Wolverine," said Tony. "But we weren't expecting you until next week."
"Well, we weren't expecting you to get started without us."
Logan dug in his backpack.
"You made the front page, Cap."
He produced a somewhat battered newspaper from his pocket and tossed it over. Steve glanced at it and flushed bright pink. Tony was pretty sure of what he was looking at. He'd already requested a copy of the picture of himself sitting in Cap's lap, being kissed. News helicopters were something of a nuisance. The main picture, though, had been of Giant Girl holding the airship in her hands like a toy. There had been some mention of the planned Stark super team, which was good. "Given that Trouble had already found the team, we thought it was wise to join you as soon as possible," said Storm smoothly. And Steve folded the paper and shoved it away into his back pocket. "Our possessions will follow us shortly."
Soon, I hope. Wolverine tugged at the pink t-shirt and scowled at Steve, who shrugged. That's two attempted kidnappings in 2 days. Banner, apparently, didn't let go of a train of thought in a hurry. Why? Tony glared at him from behind the faceplate. Stupid Banner. Is someone trying to sabotage the new team? Jan almost bounced with excitement, altogether too thrilled about having been almost kidnapped.
That could well be it, said Tony. I'm sure there'll be some clues in the robots. They can't have been totally slagged.
Check the dog, Wolverine suggested. Tony frowned.
You found the dog?
Where'd you put it? Jan said hopefully.
Stuffed it in the dustbin. He looked at Jan's horrified face. What?
Did you kill it?
Logan, Steve began, and Wolverine threw up a hand.
LMD, he protested.
Robot dog. No animals were harmed.
A scout, I guess. Or maybe bait. It did lead us down the garden path.
Still, it meant he had a specimen that hadn't taken a lightning bolt. Anyway, we should be on high alert, Steve said. Jan, you should wear your costume under your clothes as much as possible, so you have it to hand. You're more dependent on it than any of the rest of us.
Will do, she said cheerily. What about Morgan? And Tony, I guess.
Tony's been made aware. There's extra security on the tower now.
Tony did not want more discussions of Morgan's security or kidnapping. And really, this whole conversation was very inconvenient.
Hey, we haven't really introduced everybody.
Well, okay, right. Steve smiled around at them all. Jan sat down on the steps and hugged her knees, staring up as if she expected to be told a story. You all know Iron Man and myself, and this is Wolverine and Storm. Wolverine and Storm are previously of the X-Men and have experience working with teams. Storm will be my second in command for now.
I thought you said she'd be co-leader, said Wolverine belligerently, and Storm put her hand on his arm.
We are a new team. Having multiple commanders at this stage would only confuse. For now, I will take over only if the captain is incapacitated. In time, as we learn to work together, a joint command will be easier. Exactly. I'm hoping it won't take too long. Your flight will give you an excellent command of the field.
So, who are you?
Wolverine leaned over to peer into Banner's face. Banner wrinkled his nose and stepped away.
I'm Dr. Bruce Banner. I'm a nuclear physicist. Oh, that'll come in handy.
Dr. Banner has great expertise in a number of scientific fields, said Tony,
and Wolverine snorted.
We're sure his abilities will be very useful. Physically, we want to concentrate on keeping him out of harm's way.
Dead weight, then. What about you, kid?
His voice softened just a bit as he turned to Jan, and Tony remembered the way he'd played with Jubilee and Shadowcat.
I'm giant, girl!
She grabbed her mask out of her belt and pulled it over her head. Then she grinned.
I can grow and shrink. I can grow to almost 200 meters tall.
That actually seemed to impress Wolverine slightly.
Why not giant woman?
I like alliteration, she said promptly.
Why Wolverine?
Because they're pissy and Canadian.
Jan giggled, and he gave her a toothy grin. What are your powers? She asked, and Wolverine crossed his forearms in front of his chest, popping out 6 wickedly sharp blades.
Oh my, doesn't that hurt?
Yeah, he said. I'll heal, though. That's my real power. I heal everything. That's how they gave me these claws. They'll cut through anything. Almost anything, Steve said, and Wolverine glanced at him,
He tapped a finger on his shield, and Wolverine's mouth stretched into a grudging grin. Okay, America. Almost anything. And I'd like to remind everybody at this point that Wolverine will not be using the claws on living things. No one will be inflicting lethal damage, and we're going to be very, very careful about how much force we use. Wolverine made a rude noise, and Steve turned to glare at him. Anyone who can't abide by that rule is going to have to leave the team. Understood? We understand, said Storm. The X-Men operate under similar rules. Good. That's one of the things we'll be training for. Giant Girl, this will likely be something you'll have to work on. Your changing size and strength levels mean you'll have to pay attention. You don't want to hurt someone by accident.
Will do, Captain.
In fact, if everyone's feeling up to it, why don't we go out back and get some practice in? Just some basic stuff.
Yes! Jan jumped to her feet. Let's start now, can we?
Tony had to help Steve upstairs after the practice session. They were both grinning like fools. He sat Steve down on the bed and crouched to pull off his boot.
Ow!
Steve wriggled his toes. Just a strain. Can you bandage it? Top drawer. Tony fetched a bandage and began wrapping it. With Steve's healing factor, it would be fine by the next day.
I think it's going well. Storm's a real team player, and that's good.
He pointed a finger at Tony. The rest of you need to work on that.
I'm a team player, Tony said indignantly, and Steve chuckled.
Sure you are, Iron Man. He knocked his shield against the armor. You need to be a team player with the whole team, not just me. You totally trust a giant girl to catch me, right?
Well, she hasn't had much practice, said Tony, glad his helmet hid his blush.
Damn it, she'd almost dropped him. And she won't unless you let her practice.
Can't she practice on Wolverine? We can't have you laid up with a broken leg.
He tied off the bandage and stood up. It's important to show trust in your team, and we can't just use Wolverine as a punching bag.
Did you know his whole skeleton is coated in adamantium?
Said Tony. What he could do with that much adamantium. The upgrades he could make to the suit.
Seriously, he's probably worth more in spare parts than my armor is.
It was like the team assembled glorious metal artifacts just to taunt him. He eyed Steve's shield enviously. Don't go selling him on the black market now. Steve wiggled his toes again, and then started to work his sock back on. Tony turned away to put the first aid kit back in the drawer, and caught a glimpse of a stray photo peeking out from the folder on the dresser. He tilted his head, trying to make it out, and then put his hand to it, sure that it couldn't have been what it looked like. Steve shot to his feet and made a lunge as Tony reached for it, and in the collision, papers went everywhere.
Sorry.
Tony crouched down to gather them up.
Don't!
Said Steve in a surprisingly panicky voice. And Tony did a double take at the papers in his hand.
Oh my!
He opened his hand and let them fall.
Sorry, Cap. What, you just keep this stuff lying out?
No, I need to take them to S.H.I.E.L.D. I was going to take them today, but I stayed over at the tower. He blurted, scrabbling them together. They answer most of my mail. I wrote some templates for them, and I go by every week and sign them, but I keep some of the letters to answer myself.
Oh, these were the ladies you were planning to take on dates?
Steve scowled at him.
Hey, not judging,
He stopped, then put out a hand and rested a metal fingertip on a photograph.
Well,
he said, and then couldn't think of anything to say. Steve froze, and then looked up at Tony, jaw setting like he was expecting a fight. Is this going to be a problem? He said, and Tony shook his head.
No, I...
He tried to drag his thoughts together, to say something that wasn't nonsense.
You're adopting fast, you know. Dating guys already?
I'm not dating guys. Steve plucked the picture up and glanced at it. I just thought, he looked nice. He sounded nice. I thought I might... I hadn't gotten around to it. And I'm kind of hoping to not need any new dates for a while, so I guess it's moot.
Right.
Tony stared at him, the flushing skin. Steve was... That meant, maybe, when Tony was back to normal. You have a problem with this? Steve put up his chin and glared, and Tony threw up his hands.
No, no, I was just...
Steve liked guys. How was there any reasonable response to that?
I was just thinking I should warn you. The tabloids can be quite... They like outing celebrities.
Outing? Said Steve blankly.
Exposing their sexuality.
If I date a guy, I'm not going to keep it a secret. He stood up, leaving Tony with visions of terrifying headlines dancing before his eyes. There was surely no way Steve could successfully sneak that one by the tabloids, could he? Steve shut the drawer on the folder and turned away. Can we...
Steve,
Tony interrupted, and Steve gave him a surprised look. Iron Man rarely addressed him by name. Tony stood up and put one gauntlet gently on his shoulder.
Please believe me, it doesn't matter a bit to me.
Okay, Steve ducked his head and then looked up with a sheepish grin. Thanks, Shellhead.
Sure.
Tony tried to think of something supportive to say that wasn't, seriously, that's awesome. In fact, you should date me. Nothing sprang to mind.
Oh, Miss Stark, she said she wanted to see you.
What about? Steve looked hopeful.
She said she'd have made something up by the time I got you there,
he said, and Steve grinned. Oh yeah? Yeah, let me change. Tony wandered to the window and gazed out, as if he hadn't already seen Steve naked. Iron Man? Steve began tentatively, and Tony shook his head.
I am under strict orders not to let you talk me into ditching the team to hang around Miss Stark more.
I wasn't... Silence for a moment, and then he sighed. Okay. Please be careful of her. I know the team matters, but...
I do take my job seriously, Cap,
he said, trying to sound distant. And Steve sighed. I know. I'm sorry. I just... They almost got away with her. If I hadn't been with Jan when Pepper called...
It's fine, he said curtly.
Steve skulked out next morning under Pepper's disapproving eye. As soon as the door shut behind him, Tony darted back into his office, now depressingly dim with the broken windows covered with plywood. Apparently the glass had to be special ordered. Pepper followed him, ignoring his cry of, "Busy!" It's really not fair to him, she said, and Tony shook his head. Not listening! You were going to... Just a fling! He loves the future because of all the sex. Who knew Cap was a slut? Not me! He's sending you flowers. He's an old-fashioned slut, always seducing and discarding women, like Errol Flynn or something. She didn't look at all convinced, and she did have a point. But what was he supposed to do? Best he just stay quiet and wait for Steve to move on. That man is head over heels for you, Morgan. Not listening! Tony put his hands over his ears. A post-it note appeared before his eyes. Reed Richards called. Damn it, did he say what for? For a second, he took his hands away from his ears, and Pepper made a tutting noise. He says stop by when you can. Rhodey insisted on driving him over and walking him to the door, and refused to leave until he extracted a promise that Tony would call to be collected. What Rhodey thought he'd do against Dr. Doom was left politely unquestioned. Still, it was someone to carry the dog LMD he'd brought with him. He picked it apart while Reed ran tests, which today involved having a variety of wires stuck to his scalp, while Reed put his chin in his hand and gazed at what appeared to be a lava lamp, but was apparently a three-dimensional gauge. I heard Morgan Stark was in town, Reed said idly, as colors bloomed and died in the glass cylinder. Yeah. Tony removed a large section of meat and hair and dumped it in the bio-waste bin, which already contained a selection of neon purple tentacles. LMDs were gross. I've put that about as a cover.
Oh, it's you?
Reed sounded mildly surprised. How odd.
What?
Tony pulled his goggles away from his face to give Reed a stern look. Well, you're in the paper kissing Captain America, said Reed thoughtfully. And I thought Morgan Stark was a man. He spared Tony a glance, as if checking Tony hadn't sneakily altered his form again. It's complicated. Tony let his goggles snap back, and Reed nodded understandingly and returned to his lava lamp. Reed was really very restful company when he wasn't shredding the space-time continuum. All right, were you almost kidnapped? By Doom? I don't know, was I? Tony held up a circuit board and examined it. Generic tech, probably bought at Circus City or something. I'm sure that was one of Doom's older model ships, Reed said. He went through a period of using odd-shaped aerolons on his tilt rotors. I don't know why. And it makes sense that he's doing something to follow this up. Do you know what this is yet? Possibly. Reed smiled dreamily. I have a hypothesis anyway. If we assume that all universes spring from the same quantum non-locality, then all Tony Starks have a resonance with all other Tony Starks. And in a sense, every Tony Stark that ever existed in any universe is enfolded into you, and the way you interact with the universe is how your body manifests. If the frequency, angle, wavelength at which your body interacts with the universe is altered, then a different Tony Stark will be the result. What if all universes don't spring from the same quantum non-locality? Tony said, and grinned as Reed opened and shut his mouth. I'm kidding. So you can fix it? The dog's ribcage was hinged. A good blow to the spine from the blunt end of the screwdriver, and the whole torso split in half. He should have borrowed an apron. He was fake blood from collarbones to groin. Well, I'm not sure if Doom's ray worked how he wanted it to. I can't think of any reason Doom would turn you into a woman. He might have been trying to kill you. Or perhaps he thought your personality would change too? He might have been trying to turn you into an evil Tony Stark. Would evil Tony Stark have a goatee? Said Tony absently, rummaging in the dog's skull. Nothing but sensor arrays, unsurprisingly. Evil Tony Stark might ally with Doom, of course. Or maybe he thought Tony would turn into someone friendly and unassuming, who liked Doom. Or a Tony Stark without the arc reactor, who'd never learned to build them, and so can't be Iron Man. What? Reed actually turned to his computer, as if to rustle up a goatee evil algorithm. Never mind. So how does this work? Well, I don't know yet, Reed said seriously. That's what I figured out from studying your particles. I'm still unclear about how the ray works and whether it's calibrated for a specific result. I thought maybe when you're done with your robot, and I'm done with my tests, we could take the big robot apart for clues. He smiled, as if offering a treat, and Tony forced himself to smile back. Right, so nothing yet. A little more time with Steve, but damn, he missed his body. He wanted to pee standing up again. And the constant lying, even for him, so practiced in lying, was getting stressful. It'll be a while yet. Reed patted him on the arm. But I'll fix it, I promise, Tony. He must look bad if even Reed was noticing. Tony sighed and picked up the forceps. When Tony finally got home, loaded with new data, he took another long look at himself in the mirror and wondered who else might have come down the pike from the quantum non-locality. Would Doom really have just thrown a dice at random? The robots were Dooms, which was no surprise. They'd been able to match some of the components to summon the big robot, which was as close to proof as they were going to get. The question of why Doom was attempting to kidnap him remained unanswered, as did the question of what he'd try next. Stark Tower was crawling with security guards, and Pepper was armed with an earpiece and 3 panic buttons. Still, he had other things to worry about right now. The dart that had taken out his armor, for instance. He dug a set of miniature screwdrivers out of a drawer and set about dissecting it on the coffee table. The work made it easier to forget his body. The hands were as assured as his own, and the main difficulty was that when he hunched down over the table, his boobs ended up squishing on tiny components. He lost a microchip for several minutes before finding it clinging stubbornly to the underside of his right breast. Some indeterminate but fascinating time later, he heard the sound of Steve's voice, which was something of a surprise. It had only been about 6 hours, but never mind. More of Steve was nothing to complain about. "Come in," he yelled, and bounced to his feet as Steve entered. Steve shut the door behind him, and Tony wrapped his arms around his neck and kissed him. "Hey, you," Tony said after a long moment. "What are you doing here?"
"I needed to talk to you."
Steve was all serious frown and set jaw, and Tony planted another kiss on the corner of his mouth, because Steve's serious face was sort of adorable.
"Really talk? Or the kind of talk where you bend me over the desk?"
Tony batted his eyelashes, and Steve's eyes flicked to the desk and back, clearly tempted.
"Really talk."
"It was really serious then." Tony sighed and stepped back, and Steve scowled.
"I met Morgan Stark today."
"What?" Morgan Stark. He stopped by the mansion to introduce himself. "Jarvis tried to get rid of him, but I was just on my way out." Ah! This was not good. This was very bad.
"What did he want?"
"To borrow money. Never mind that. Morgan Stark is a man, and he's definitely not you. And it was pretty awkward, actually, because he'd heard on the news I was dating Morgan Stark. And, well, awkward. I think he might have been trying to blackmail me." Steve rubbed at the back of his neck, cheeks flushing. If Morgan had hit on Steve, Tony was going to scratch his eyes out. "Ah," said Tony again, searching for a better response. "Damn, Morgan. Damn, damn, damn." Well, no point in denying it. He was lucky Steve had gone this long without finding out. Steve's lack of interest in gossip columns was a blessing, really. He wiped his sweaty palms on his jeans and tried to think of a way out that wouldn't involve Steve hating him. Or at least, not the real him. Who was he? Who was he?
So who are you? Jarvis went all English butler on me, but he wouldn't have covered for a stranger. Pepper knows and trusts you. You're allowed in Mr. Stark's office at will, and you're allowed to run things when he's not here. And you know the Iron Man armor.
Steve tilted his head, narrowed his eyes, and Tony saw an escape route and leapt for it.
I'm Iron Man, he said. Oh shit, he thought.
You...
Steve's mouth dropped open. What did we talk about yesterday? How I'm not allowed to sell Logan for parts? And I have to let Jan drop you on your head for team-building purposes?
This was... Okay, this wasn't so bad. But now, instead of Morgan just vanishing, she'd have to stay Iron Man, and their professional relationship.
He'd worry about that later.
I didn't tell you the truth because, well, I have a secret identity. I've worked so hard to evade notice by anyone.
You... Steve stared at him. What's your real name?
And Tony figured he might as well go all out.
Tony, he said. Short for Antonia. I am a cousin, but a more distant one. You can email Tony and ask if you want.
No, I guess that makes sense.
Steve's frown had eased, and now a beatific smile was spreading over his face.
That's really good.
He slipped his arm around Tony's waist. No wonder I felt such a connection with you. You're already my best friend. He kissed Tony, and suddenly Tony realized the extent of the lie to which he'd just committed himself. But he pushed it away and concentrated on Steve's mouth. Then Steve pulled back.
Oh, you've been cheating, Steve said. Asking me things.
Sorry, I didn't think it would matter. I figured, well, you date a lot of women. I didn't think it would be an issue. I thought it wouldn't last.
He looked down, feeling his cheeks heat.
Morgan. Tony. He put his hands up to cup Tony's face. I like you, okay? An awful lot. I know we've only been seeing each other a little while, but... Well, I guess I've known you for a lot longer. And, well, I...
He kissed Tony again, softly.
I care about you. A lot. He said against the tender spot at the corner of Tony's mouth. And Tony scrunched his eyes shut and kissed him, trying not to think about it.
Tony, Steve murmured again. And he groaned, because it was his name, and that was...
So, about the desk, Steve said, and Tony smiled. Afterwards, they curled up on the couch, and then Tony got up to lock the door in case Pepper wanted something. Not that it would be the first time she walked in on... never mind, he said, settling back into Steve's arms. And Steve laughed. It would be the first time she walked in on me, and I'd rather avoid it, thanks.
Oh well, I remember once one of my girlfriends...
He choked off the remark too late, and Steve's hand hesitated on his hip before resuming stroking. Tony peeked up at him.
So, I have girlfriends sometimes. I should have maybe mentioned that too?
Well, it's not really my business, I guess.
You don't mind? Tony said, relaxing. Not that he'd really expected Steve to, but the 40s, after all.
No, in fact, I...
Steve seemed to be losing himself in a morass of monosyllables. Tony grinned at him.
Like the idea? He said softly, and Steve frowned before his eyes widened and he went pink.
No, I mean... His blush deepened, and Tony laughed. Now I think of it like that, it is appealing, he said, with a primness impressive for a naked, sticky man. I don't mind at all. That sort of thing. Tony remembered the picture he'd seen, and now he could ask questions. No, of course not. You like guys, right? Oh yeah, Iron Man. And Steve gave him a slightly exasperated look. I've not had boyfriends. But you like guys, Tony said insistently. If Steve liked guys, he might like Tony. If his taste in men was at all similar to his taste in women, he had to like Tony. Of course, it was entirely possible he wouldn't feel comfortable dating his ex-girlfriend's cousin, which meant he'd blown his chance to have Steve while in his real body. He'd worry about that later. I guess, Steve said uncertainly. Sometimes. There was a guy during the war. I only knew him a week or so, but I was so in love. I swear, my hands shook when I talked to him. That was the first time. I mean, I like women. There was a girl later. She was... I told you about her. I thought I was going to find her after the war, marry her. I was so... It's easy to fall in love during a war. I guess at the time, with him, I thought it was just a fluke of some kind. But I've wondered since I got here. Yeah? Tony slipped his hand into Steve's hair, and Steve kissed the inside of his wrist. But you never did anything? I mean, I couldn't then. I had to set an example. He frowned. It was illegal then. I couldn't. Sure. Tony smoothed his frown lines away, and he sighed, lips curving upward. He still looked a little sad. I suppose. Steve's eyelids fluttered shut, and he kissed Tony's wrist again, slow, touching his tongue to the hollow under the thumb where the pulse was strong. I suppose I would have been a better example if I had, and told them where to go, right? Being a hero and all. You can't do everything, said Tony softly, trying not to picture Steve, all young and wide-eyed, in love with... another soldier? A civilian? Maybe I should have done more. He opened his eyes and smiled. But I'm hoping not to be looking for new dates for a while. He leaned in to nuzzle at Tony's ear, ticklish breath making him squirm. Have I told you how crazy I am about you? He said quietly. Seriously, I admire your bravery and intelligence so much. I love your sense of humor, and you're so beautiful. Stop now, Tony said. And Steve lifted his head and then laughed, probably at the blush Tony could feel burning his skin. Kiss me instead. Yes, ma'am. And he covered Tony's mouth with his.
You told him what? Said Pepper in a strangled shriek. And Tony cringed, and then sat up straight and tried to look authoritative. He owned a Fortune 500 company and was one of the greatest minds on the planet, damn it. He didn't have to be scared of his personal assistant. Rhodey's personal assistant. Maybe he could threaten to fire Rhodey if he didn't keep his personal assistant in line. Maybe not. Rhodey was also looking at him incredulously. I didn't mean to. Tony tried a soothing tone, but it just made Pepper's glare intensify. It kind of slipped out? Of course it did, said Pepper wearily, and collapsed into a chair. You accidentally went on a date, you accidentally went to bed with him,
and now you've accidentally claimed to be your own bodyguard and his teammate.
Sometimes things just happen, Tony said vaguely.
It did sound a bit bad, put like that. He was just a victim of events, damn it.
Tony, this is bad.
She raked a hand through her hair, disarranging it, a definite sign of upset.
What's Iron Man going to say?
Yeah, Tony, what is Iron Man going to say? Echoed Rhodey incredulously, and Tony glared at him.
He'll be fine with it.
And when you change back, and Steve is trying to work out why his girlfriend, Pepper said in doom-laden tones.
I'll tell him I fired her and hired a new Iron Man, Tony snapped. That she was a supervillain or something.
That would work. Then she wouldn't have really been his cousin, and after an appropriate time, Tony could ask Steve out.
You're going to?
Pepper covered her mouth and scrunched her eyes shut.
That's awful, she said from between gritted teeth.
No, it's... He looked at Rhodey, who shook his head. It's awful, isn't it? Rhodey nodded.
Okay, I won't do that. Stop hating me, Pepper.
She slitted her eyes open and gave him a poisonous look.
I'll come up with something, okay? Something not awful.
She turned and stalked out. Tony sighed and shook his head. Women, he said to Rhodey, who rolled his eyes.
She likes Cap. I like Cap. Everyone likes Cap. Even villains like Cap.
He once caught a shoplifter because the guy wanted his autograph, said Tony with a touch of pride. He's pretty amazing, right?
You don't get points for boasting about your awesome boyfriend when you're planning to ditch him and grow a dick.
Rhodey folded his arms and looked at him disapprovingly. The only thing you will get for hurting Captain America is universal disdain, and maybe Pepper will delete your calendar and leave you to figure it out.
It's not my fault!
It is all totally your fault, said Rhodey. He didn't look like he was joking. Tony's phone rang. He looked at the display. Jan. He would have answered the phone to AIM to leave this conversation, really.
Hi, Morgan. I hope I'm not interrupting anything. Only there's a problem, and Storm and Wolverine have gone out to lunch, and...
A problem?
Well, it's Bruce, you see.
Tony was making for the door when Pepper ambushed him. Iron Man, she said briskly, stalking across the floor. Are you sure you'll be able to keep Cap fooled?
Oh, sure.
He reached for the door handle, and Pepper put her hand on the door. Tony stuck his tongue out at her behind the faceplate.
He's a professional. I'll just tell him that it helps protect my identity that I go off duty and then come back as someone else.
Do you think... Pepper lowered her head and frowned, and Tony felt a twinge of worry. Pepper rarely showed doubt. You and Captain America are good friends.
We're teammates, said Tony cautiously,
and she snorted.
Huh. Sure, you're friends. Or at least, Cap is your friend. How?
She touched his armored arm. I'm worried about him, she said, and blinked her big green eyes up at him. Pepper so rarely showed concern without a veneer of irritation. It was easy to forget how soft-hearted she was. Tony let go of the door handle and put a hand on her shoulder.
It'll be fine.
He swallowed around the lump in his throat.
Really, he's not so into Tony as all that, you know.
I'm crazy about you, he'd said, but he'd also said he could fall in love in a week,
so who knew what kind of crushes and infatuation Cap fell in and out of? I think he is, said Pepper, twisting her hands together. Well, I promised him I wouldn't gossip, but I know he's getting very attached to her. I mean, him. Don't tell him, but he really is. Tony desperately, desperately wanted to gossip. He's never really dated anyone, she went on. Tony's his first proper girlfriend. God, that sounds so stupid. But all he's had is wartime romance and a string of first dates. This is going to hurt him. Can't you talk to Tony?
I can't talk to Mr. Stark about his private life,
he said, as remotely as he could. And Pepper made a furious little noise, like an angry cat, and pushed her face up close to his. It was an effort to stay still, hold his blank faceplate steady. He's your friend, she said. He's your friend, and you're going to let Tony hurt him?
Cap will lose interest. You're right, he's never really dated before, and he's all excited, and this is new. Once the shine wears off, he'll probably be glad to be rid of Mr. Stark. He may be an eligible bachelor, but somehow, I don't think Mr. Stark's got the qualities Cap looks for in a long-term lover.